Danny Meringue.
And then I went to this movie theater. This is it. I made a noise like this.
Dusty Hera.
Then this was horrible. All the people started getting sick and throwing up all over each other.
I'm beginning to like this kid, Mike.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080. The Fan.
Outer 3 here on Danny and Dusty on a Thursday afternoon. We're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday. We didn't get to it yesterday, not as a slight to him, just we had some stuff yesterday. Carmelo Anthony has been notified that he will be a member of the 2025 Basketball Hall of Fame. And
deserving. Deserving.
And for those that
you know, how my bounce, how my pop.
You don't have the what he says after rebounds.
No, can't air that one.
Oh,
yeah, no. F out of here.
But for those that don't know, it's not the NBA Hall of Fame. It is the Basketball Hall of Fame, which encompasses NBA, other professional careers overseas, internationally, Olympic, and college. Now, college has their own College Basketball Hall of Fame, but the Basketball Hall of Fame encompasses basically college and on. And Carmelo Anthony has one of the most historic marks in college basketball history. He was a true freshman who led his Syracuse team to a national title and was the most outstanding player of that tournament. That's pretty damn good.
Well, his NBA career also is a Hall of Fame worthy career.
Oh, yeah, no.
First ballot Hall of Fame worthy career, too. His international career, which is what a lot of guys get into the Hall as well. Drazen Petrovic was in because of his international career before. And yeah, he's an all time scorer. Man.
He's 10th all time currently.
Bucket getter.
And what was surprising?
He's 12th now.
Well, yeah.
12th all time.
Didn't they just get passed?
Nah, KD passed him a while ago, but James Harden is nipping on his heels. James Harden is about 700 points away. It's pretty good.
So, yeah, next season.
Pretty good.
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah, but Melo's career, it lacks a ring, but it has medals. It has a national championship to it. And we talked about it last week with what he did as a freshman at Syracuse and how impressive it was.
The thing about Melo, when I looked at this, I was surprised. Did you know he was only a 6-time All-NBA player?
No, but that doesn't surprise me. That doesn't surprise me because, remember, it was by position for the longest time, too, and he was competing alongside LeBron James and Kevin Durant. That is going to change things.
But it just shows you how just wing-heavy.
Yeah.
The NBA was at that point in time. Now we're in that kind of super guard heavy. Like, you're like, oh, that guy could be an all-star or that guy could be an all-NBA. And you look and you're like, he's the 12th best guard in the league. No, he's not. Never mind. You know, it's like there's just so many good guards now. That was a period where, you know, Dwayne Wade kind of went back and forth between the two and the three. And it was positional, non-positional. You had guard / forward. You know, the weirdness there. But I was a little bit surprised at Carmelo Anthony being only, quote unquote, a 6-time All-NBA player. It was like, huh. The career marks for Melo, 22.5 points, 6.2 rebounds, 2.7 assists in his 19-year career.
He was never a first-team All-NBA guy either.
Kind of crazy for you to be like, this guy's a first ballot, no doubter. And it's like, well, he doesn't have an MVP.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a first-team All-NBA. He doesn't have a title, and yet he's so high up.
He was second team in 2012-13 to LeBron and KD. Then he was third team behind LeBron, KD, Kevin Love, Blake Griffin. He was second team to LeBron and KD again, and he was also second team alongside in 2009-10, Dirk Nowitzki. You had to throw him in the mix as in their position. Then he was third team behind Dirk, LeBron, Tim Duncan, and Paul Pierce. And he was on the third team alongside Pau Gasol. Also a third team with Kevin Garnett in 2006-2007. That's because Tim Duncan, Dirk, Chris Bosh, or Tim Duncan and Dirk were first team. Mm-hmm. Bosch and LeBron were second team All NBA. And then another third team in 2005-06 behind LeBron, Dirk on the first team, Elton Brand, Tim Duncan on the second team. And then it was Melo and Sean Marion on the third team. Dude, he played with some dominant forwards.
Yeah, that 3-4 era in the NBA was pretty damn good.
Golly. You want to talk about loaded, man.
I mean, Sean Marion's the worst player on that list.
No, and then there's guys.
And I don't say that as a slight to the Matrix. Like, that's a holy crap.
Yeah.
Sean Marion's the worst player on this list.
You want to talk about the guys that snuck up and kind of
got one here
off,
there?
Snipered him off of the list? You'd look at Tracy McGrady. Tracy McGrady, you got Pau Gasol, Carlos Boozer in that year that he had in Utah,
yep,
where he just was absolutely insane.
Him and Duran went crazy.
You've got LaMarcus Aldridge and Zach Randolph, mm-hmm, plucked him off a list 1 year. You've got...
That's what happens when you stack 20 in 10 years.
LaMarcus and Paul George, along with Kevin Love. Good
Remember,
Lord.
Kevin Love in Minnesota was a bleeping monster.
DeMarcus Cousins held him off a team one
year. He had like a 28 and 12 year.
Kawhi Leonard obviously came into the league and then started taking up spots on there. Draymond Green also in 2015-16. Like his career, like you look at it and you go, yeah, six seems like a low number, but then you read the names of other guys. Jimmy Butler, mm-hmm, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Mm-hmm. Like, golly. He's overlapped with the best era of forwards
ever,
the NBA's ever seen.
And out of everyone you just named in there, Elton Brand is probably the only one, well, and Boozer, are probably the only ones that are not going to make the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, two outliers there.
Boogie, probably too, because his career was shortened. But otherwise, yeah. So three guys on that list that he, you know, felt got knocked off by. Are nuts. Also Hall of Famers.
Nuts. But Melo deserves it, man. His career was incredible. And he was a guy that never got a ring, got in the way of his team winning championships at
times. Yeah, I mean, he left a Denver team that lost in the Western Conference Finals to the Lakers, and he forced a trade that stripped his Knicks team of assets.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big issue. And his inability to take a subservient role in the NBA, yet when he would go to the Olympics, he was playing fourth or fifth.
The most complimentary
fiddle.
Player maybe in USA men's basketball history. I am a firm believer that if Melo had accepted that idea and played with another star, that he had Dwayne Wade it or Chris Bosh'd it, you know, had really figured that out, he would have been looked at differently because I think he probably would have won a title.
No doubt.
And you would have been like, okay, he did it.
Mm-hmm.
He did it. Because like it wasn't that he wasn't a winner. It's just, he had to win on his terms. And that ultimately ends up being, I think, the downfall of the best players ever who don't win a title, with the exception of maybe Barkley. Because Barkley tried to go do the thing.
Yeah, he chased it. Ring chasing doesn't always work, man.
I mean, Melo did at the end.
Yeah, with the Blazers. Oh.
Yeah.
No?
No, the year after the Lakers.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's right. That's right. That's right.
When he was willing to come off the bench. Weird how that works. All right, let's get back to the NFL a little bit. There's some backup quarterback, not necessarily controversy, news for one team as they figured some things out, and news for another that we all saw coming on draft night last year. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. Well, the quarterback carousel has mostly come to a stop, but the backup world is still dancing around a little bit. And you had two moves today. One of them for Joe Milton getting moved.
This is going to be hilarious.
Mm.
It is going to be hilarious. Joe Milton, former Tennessee quarterback, Patriots drafted him last year. And if you don't know about Joe Milton, he has got an absolute rocket for an arm.
It's a howitzer attached to his shoulder.
He can throw the ball really, really far. This is going to be hilarious because he has stepped in and showed last year some functionality, mm-hmm, at times. It is going to be perfect because what is going to happen is Dak will get dinged up with something at some point. Joe Milton is going to come in. He's going to throw a moon ball that damn near hits the scoreboard in Jerry's world.
And that Cooper Rush could never touch.
Jerry Jones and the rest of the Cowboys fans are going to be giggity over. And then Dak will come back. He'll have some inconsistent performance, and people will flip out wanting to see Joe Milton as a starter.
I cannot wait for it. Are you saying this is like late in life Al Davis?
I cannot wait for this. Yeah, it is. He didn't draft him first round like Darius Hayward Bay, but it is a he can throw the ball a mile. I love that.
The Jamarcus Russell of it all.
I mean, honestly, Joe Milton is a guy that you just sit there and you say, we have one Hail Mary shot. We're 70 yards away. We are going to put Joe Milton in and let him uncork a ball from 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage to your 75-yard just moonshot down the field. Other than that, probably not going to want to see a lot of Joe Milton.
CeeDee Lamb can go up for that ball, right?
You're damn right. He's just going to run. He's just going to run and just be fast, go get ball. Yeah.
Well, the other side of this backup world is we all saw it on draft night when the Atlanta Falcons drafted Michael Penix Jr. And we saw the general manager and the owner on camera having a disagreement of sorts.
You did a what?
Why did I just spend $100 million guaranteed on Kirk Cousins if you're going to draft his replacement right now?
But why did we do this?
Kirk Cousins is asking to be outright cut because a trade cannot be facilitated.
Well, yeah, because your contract, which is fully guaranteed, is an albatross, and teams don't want it. So what he wants is to be cut and have the Falcons just eat his salary instead of having him as a backup? Yeah, good luck with that, man.
I think we're going to find out nice guy Kirk, not so nice when he's not playing.
Yeah, I don't think he has that in him.
You don't think so? I mean, no. He's already ruffling more feathers than I thought he would.
But, yeah, he wants to be cut. Wish in one hand and whiz in the other and see which one fills up faster, bro.
You like that? You like that?
You're not gonna. You're not gonna like that.
Mm-mm.
It's not gonna be good.
No.
Because you wanted the money. They gave you the money. And you really should not be upset about it because of the fact that they drafted a guy that performed better than you. It's a performance-based game. And now if you want to get cut and you want to go somewhere else, sure, go ahead. But you also shouldn't have negotiated a contract that is so punitive if a team wants to do that. That's why you negotiated this contract, is so if you played poorly, then you had safety.
Yes.
You still have safety, and you played poorly.
You know what else he has in his contract, right?
What?
He has a no-trade clause.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. But at this point, like, where wouldn't you want to go? Because if somebody's going to trade for you, it's so you can start, and you're not starting in Atlanta. Like, good luck, dude.
I mean, we give the Wizards hell for the Bradley Beal deal. Is Cousins worse?
No, because it's still not the worst in the league. Deshaun Watson, which is where Kirk Cousins
that's where he'd end up.
He wants to go to Cleveland.
Which also seems to me, if that's out there, it means Cleveland has probably contacted him, which leads me to believe that Cleveland is not looking at a quarterback in the draft.
Well, because it's Shedeur Sanders. And, like, there's a lot of smoke to this, the everything that's coming out, that Shedeur lacks size. He doesn't have elite mobility. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, when a lot of the draft evaluators are still on the, he doesn't hold on to the ball too long. Yeah, he does. And they chalk it up to the poor protection, which is true.
Yes, it is.
Protection was poor. But even when he had clean pockets, he would hold on to the ball too long. Mm-hmm. That's a problem in the NFL.
Yeah, that clock gets sped up a whole second and a half more.
There's mocks that are coming out now that have him sliding down to ninth and going to New Orleans. And that would indicate that Cleveland doesn't make a move on him. The Giants don't make a move on him. The Jets don't make a move on him. And he just continues to kind of fall down. And then New Orleans, We'll say, all right, we got Derek Carr for another year. Let's
screw it. What else we got to lose?
Let's draft and stash and see if Kellen Moore can work his magic with Shedeur Sanders.
As a Raiders fan, I'm glad that is just kind of being like,
well, yeah, that
we're good.
Sorry, yeah, the Raiders would pass on him too.
Yeah,
and like that, they have Geno for 2 years. That's not a long term fix. Mm-mm. But what it is going to signal if they really do go running back, it's just like, all right. We're going to try to figure this damn thing out.
We're
going
to try to win. And whatever win is, it's a let's be a functional organization.
It's going to be really hard in that division. That division's going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
So damn good.
But hey, having competency would be fun. I like having competent teams.
They do have competence.
And that's not something you could say for the past, other than a year or two here or there, for the last 20 years.
They still need a receiver.
Yeah. No, Brock Bowers is going to have to catch a lot of passes.
Yeah,
a lot of passes. It's a tough place to be. All right, coming up next, speaking of tight ends and catching passes, the Arizona Cardinals have a record-breaking deal in place for their tight end. We'll get to that next here, coming up with Danny and Dusty. But first, it's the Big Kahuna with Sports and Update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
This just happened a little under an hour ago. The Arizona Cardinals have extended tight end Trey McBride to the most lucrative deal for a tight end in NFL history.
Yes, finally, tight ends getting the respect they deserve.
Who doesn't love a good pricey tight end?
They are so valuable to an offense, and I can't believe how undervalued they have been over the last decade.
So much of that has been on the positional slotting arbitration.
It is so stupid.
What is it, like $14 million or something like that?
It is so dumb. These guys need to get paid. You look at every Super Bowl winning team, mm-hmm. contending team, they have good tight end play.
Mm-hmm.
They have elite tight end play. Look at Tom Brady with Rob Gronkowski, mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes with Travis Kelce. A tight end matters tremendously, not just your passing game, but your running game as well. And I don't care what people want to say about Travis Kelce in being a subpar blocker. He can get enough mm-hmm. done. And you always have to account for where he is.
And he makes up for it by advantage, being a god-tier receiver.
It is a holy great advantage. And Trey McBride gets 4 years, $76 million, 43 guaranteed. So he's going to be averaging like $19 million a year. Yeah, they should be in the $20 million range for good, great tight ends.
It's really interesting. When you talk about great tight ends, the idea that like, and I don't mean this in a derogatory fashion towards somebody like DK Metcalf. I think DK is really good. He's the type of receiver that I like. Big body freak that can high point ball, all those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
What's more valuable today? A $30 million wide receiver yeah. who's a top 10 wide receiver, or a $18 to $20 million tight end who's a top three tight
who's
end?
Who's barely in the top 10 receiver. And that is a miss. That is a miss. The truly elite receivers are worth their weight in gold.
Yeah, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, absolutely.
They are worth it.
And even the next tier down when you're talking about like the A.J. Browns and the
Amon-Ra St. Brown,
like
yeah.
they're worth it.
Yeah.
When you get into that next group, though,
your tight ends are more important.
Right? And it's
your
like,
elite tight ends
are
more important.
And you get them for a third less, sometimes more.
Yeah. It's a wild wrinkle in the market that just doesn't make sense. But I'm glad Trey McBride is resetting the market, kind of escalating it a little bit. And now,
are you surprised it was him?
No, because he was the next guy up, and he is elite, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's 6'4", 250, runs a 4.5. Yeah. Yeah, he's really damn good, dude. He is a very good receiving tight end, especially. I'm not surprised that it's him just because he is up, but if you're George Kittle who's entering a contract year, you're pretty happy about that because you're not going to get the longevity of it with where Kittle's at in his injury history in his career. But you're going to get
a spike year.
A couple year deal, 2 year deal that's going to be
2 year, 44.
You bump that bad boy up a little
22
bit.
22 a year.
Brock Bowers got to be very happy that these numbers are coming up right after his rookie mm-hmm. year where he's going to have a few years to kind of escalate his value, and it's going to be through the damn roof. It's a good thing that tight ends are going to be paid more money, but also we have to remember, like, he reset the market at $19 million per year. The salary cap ballooned this year. Mm-hmm. So they're still underpaid and undervalued.
Yeah. And it's going, the contract folks that are out there, the CBA folks, all expect it to balloon again, not to the exact same extent, but a sizable amount.
And look, as the game continues to swing back towards inside the tackles and running the football, and that being more prevalent, the value of the tight end goes up even more. Okay.
What's also interesting is you look around the NFL right now, how many truly great young tight ends are there?
There's quite a few. There's quite a few where you got Bowers, McBride, Sam Laporta is really good. TJ Hockenson in Minnesota, very, very good. And then you have just like this escalation of, I think the floor of the tight ends has gone up.
That's where I was going to get to. Because like you look at the draft this year where you've got Loveland and Warren.
Yeah.
Do you think either of those guys are going to be bad tight ends?
No.
They may not be Kelce's, no. But like, when I look at both those guys, I look at number one, physical profile. They're both enormous. Yep. They can both do a million things.
They can run.
They can run. And you just look at them and you're just like, okay, with where the game is going now, do you see like the floor of that tight? I don't think you're going to see many of the, I mean, don't be wrong, they'll still be on a roster, but just the just blocking tight end. I think you're getting the, I think you see this in the NBA. You can't just be one thing anymore. Mm-mm. You have like the sport is evolving, the athletes are evolving, and the level of tight end play, even at the bottom, is rising. Even if the very top, there's only so much more room to go.
Yeah, I'm happy for that group. They're a lovable group of meatheads that they're an extension of your offensive line and an extension of your receiving core. Right?
So it's two different types of crazy.
Yes, and if you don't have a great tight end, your offense is not great. Pretty simple.
How? Eagles?
Dallas Goedert?
Oh, sorry. I forgot about Goddard. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah.
Why? I had Selleck in my head still for some reason. No. I'm like what? No, you're right.
No, yeah. they got Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, Goddard.
And they're really damn good at
I'm
that
just trying
position.
To, like, run through. Yeah. There's really
I mean,
not...
the Commanders have Zach Ertz.
Yeah, who had a nice bounce back.
They brought him out of semi-retirement.
Yeah. I mean, he just got beat to hell.
You got Dalton Kincaid. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got Knox. I mean, all of the great teams, they have great tight ends.
Texans?
The Texans have
got... Yeah, they've got Schultz.
Yeah, Dalton Schultz.
Yeah. God, I mean, the proliferation of the tight end is happening.
Yeah, I mean, literally every, and that's going to be the thing, like that is why everybody thought this past year, Jim Harbaugh would go into the draft and say, I'm going to get me a tight end. Mm. You know, that's why they thought Brock Bowers to the Chargers was the no-brainer. And they opted to go Will Dissly instead, which is, he's a fine tight end.
Yeah.
But he ain't that guy. Mm. And they may, look, If a tight end drops this year, they may be ready to pounce on a tight end early in this draft. But we'll see where the Chargers go. But that was an interesting one. They did go Joe Alt, which
pretty good
call.
Pretty good pick.
Pretty good call. But
it just showed you Harbaugh's pecking order. I love my tight ends, but I love my tackles more.
He wants the offensive line and then go do your extension of the O-line.
Yeah, take care of that first. All right, come in next. I want to make sure we got this in as there's not much time left in the season. It's not Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa, but we have one of the greatest record chases in sports history coming down to the wire this season. We'll dive into that next here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
It's time for Legends of Hoop, an inside look at the college basketball championships. Brought to you by Legends Casino Hotel, within winning distance.
Part of his genius is the fact that he can win a game with scoring, rebounding, steals, blocks, you name it, whatever you need, whatever that game requires, he finds a way to come up with those plays to help us win.
That was Duke head coach John Shire on with SVP last night talking about what's ahead of the Duke Blue Devils. And he's not wrong. I mean, that's the thing about Cooper Flagg is what everybody loves about him. Whatever you need, he can do.
His gravity has allowed the other two freshmen to shine. It takes a lot of the pressure off of them, and we've seen how consistent and how dang good they are. But the thing that I love about Cooper Flagg the most, he defers when he needs to.
Legends Hoop is brought to you by Legends Casino Hotel. Escape to Legends Casino Hotel within winning distance. Just a short drive to Toppenish, Washington, the ultimate destination for fun and relaxation. LegendsCasino.com. When we were in Washington, D.C. for Army Navy, we had Zach Leontis on, the son of Ted Leontis, who owns the Washington Capitals, Mystics, and the Monumental Sports Entertainment Group. And we, because we had recorded some stuff, we had some time to sit down and talk to him before we had him hop on live.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about, at that point in time, Ovechkin was getting ready to come back, and he was going to pursue Wayne Gretzky's all-time goal-scoring mark, and how excited he was and how much he loves Ovi, his family, how much he means to the community. And it is a hallowed record when you're talking about anytime you're passing Wayne Gretzky in anything.
Yeah, the points record is one of the most untouchable records in sports, which is goals and assists in hockey.
Yes.
And
Wayne Gretzky is 900 points beyond. If you take away his goals, he's still, what is he, second? No, he's still first.
Yeah, he's still first in all-time points.
Good God.
The points record will never be touched. The greatness of the great one is something that we won't see in our lifetimes because longevity and just the sheer volume of what he was able to do and the game kind of changing. But
Ovi just overtook Gretzky in games played.
Ovi has scored for so many damn years.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like a lot of the guys when you see like the pictures of them in the locker room and stuff. Alexander Ovechkin looks like the dad of many of the players on that team.
He's old enough to be.
And the fact he's still scoring and he's only four away from knocking off Mul Waino.
With seven games remaining. The math says, because he's at 39 goals in the season, which a 39-goal season at his age is bonkers. It really is. But the math says he will get it on the last day of the season.
That is nuts. But what you're going to see with Washington is they're going to try to manufacture a lot more.
Oh, every power play, every empty net, every single opportunity for him to put puck in net, he is going to get.
And if you look at where they are currently sitting right now in the playoff hunt, they have clinched their points. They're not going to be caught in all likelihood by the Carolina Hurricanes, barring a dramatic meltdown and turnaround by Carolina. They're going to win their division. Mm-hmm. They're in. They're steady. Now it's, let's see if we can get Ovi the record.
He only has one multi-goal game since late November.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he's only been stacking singles here.
So that was before the injury.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or maybe it was maybe late December. Might have been right when he came back.
Okay. It's going to be tough, but I want to see it. It'll be really cool. And I think that this might just be that if he gets it, that's it for him. That's the swan song.
Yeah.
He's right off into the sunset.
He's got a cup.
B-O-V.
He's been like,
yep.
When
and he did it with one team.
That's the crazy thing. And Crosby has been as great as he has been with the Penguins. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing. Like when you look at this list, like Jaromir Jagr, Penguins legend, played for Pittsburgh, Washington, New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, New Jersey, Florida, Calgary. Like if you look at these lists, the only guys that are single team guys in the top 10, Mario Lemieux, Steve Yzerman, Alex Ovechkin.
Yeah,
and I remember when Ovi and Sid came into the league, I chose one, and I chose Ovi because I loved the power game that he played with and a hair on fire. And you can say Sidney Crosby's the more complete player and all those kind of things, but
he's a beautiful player.
He is.
Fancy lad.
But there was just something about Ovi that was just perfect. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Like, as far as like capturing the, like, he was kind of the bad boy.
I don't care enough about hockey to pick one.
No.
But what he's doing is...
Are you going to tune in and watch a little bit of the chase?
Yeah. Well, am I going to like watch a full hockey game? No.
So let's going into the night, he's one away. Are you going to tune into a game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if he's one away, that's when I'll start
like
watching.
Going into the game, he needs one to break it?
Yeah, we'll flip that on. Okay. I'm big on the history chases, but... Yeah, I'm not going to do.
So for those that are wondering,
watch like last seven games.
Total right now, Alex Ovechkin, 892. Wayne Gretzky, 894.
Ooh, all right. Wait, what?
Yeah, 892 to 894.
He's two away?
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was four.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, go Alexander Ovechkin. Let's do this thing.
So, Ovi is, let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. He's 11th in career points, too. Joe Sakic is in between him and Sid Crosby.
Ooh, Joe Sakic. Let's go Joe Sakic.
So, there you go.
All right.
I just wanted to get that in there. I
like a little hockey talk every now and then.
I do, too. The Portland Trailblazers do have a game tonight.
Yeah, they play the Raptors, man.
More like the Crafters because everyone's sitting out. Because they've been officially eliminated from the playoffs. There's nobody playing for them. And with the Kings losing to the bleeping Wizards last night, the door for the Trailblazers into the play-in is mathematically open.
No!
So God only knows what they're going
to
do tonight.
Okay, but they wouldn't. It's not just you're chasing the Kings. You have to
You have to pass the Suns, too. You have to pass both of them, which means you have to win every game.
And those two teams play each other, so it's not three, it's four.
Yeah, it's four no matter what.
Let's not do this.
Yeah.
Let's not do this.
I liked it better when they were less than 0.1%.
Like, I want to, like, they went to Toronto there. I got there last night. I'm too late. Call Border Patrol or something. Get the team hung up
sick,
there.
Sick the Mounties on them. Make,
like, it'd just be like...
report something in somebody's bags. Make them slow it down a little bit.
Yeah. Right. And just be like, oh, no, they couldn't make it to the game. Forfeit. Lose. Mm. Raptors win. You know? I mean,
the Mavs were close to forfeiting earlier this season.
I should have thought of this earlier. Give me more D.B. Hooper. I want more Justin Minaya. I want more Ryan Rupert.
Oh, we're going to go...
Duop Reith.
French Connection, baby. Rupert and Sissoko.
Sure, let's see it all.
Go full French sickos.
Let's watch this thing.
Sissoko's out, I think.
Was he on the list? God bless.
Another one? All right.
I didn't look at earlier.
RIP to Glory Days, too. Joe Depue, who nobody should know that name. He's a 75-year-old, was a 75-year-old carpenter and substitute school teacher. He passed away. He was the inspiration for Bruce Springsteen's song "Glory Days," where
get the hell out.
Yeah, yeah. He said he could throw that speedball by you, make you look like a fool. Glory days, right? That line was inspired by Bruce Springsteen's little league teammate Joe Depue, who was like a high school phenom and had a tryout with the Dodgers after high school. Didn't make the team. And they said, yeah, thank you, but yeah, no thanks. So then he went and played basketball at King's College, a D3 school in Pennsylvania, and ended up becoming a carpenter and substitute school teacher. But Glory Days, all-time great song by the Boss.
Was he getting royalties?
Probably not. Mm. But he was a good friend of Bruce Springsteen because they played Little League together. Where apparently the Boss sucked at Little League.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Picked up a piano, though.
Yeah, and guitar, and Courtney Cox in his music video.
Mm.
You know? What song was that for? Dancing in the Dark. Yeah. Yep. He was Dancing in the Dark. Pulled Courtney Cox right out of that stage. Who'd have known?
Mm.
She'd become a star of Friends.
You know where she was a star?
Where?
On The Longest Yard.
Oh, she was the girlfriend, the crazy girlfriend. Yeah, yeah.
Alex P. Keaton's girlfriend.
She was great on Cougar Town too.
Yes, she was.
That show was good. Mm. That show was funny, raunchy, and funny.
Yes.
All right, that does it for us on this Thursday. We'll be back for a Friday edition. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. We got Prime Time with Isaac and Souk. Have a great Thursday, everybody.
Bye.